All right, so welcome, everybody. How are we? How are we? Thumbs. Okay, seeing some thumbs up. Should we do a short hindrance check? That's what we do sometimes, so it feels a bit more conversational. Yeah. Anyone experience any feelings of aversion or irritation during the sitting? Can be honest. Yeah. Anyone experience any wanting for something that wasn't here during the sitting? Okay. Any sleepiness, drowsiness, sinking, yeah, drifty feeling? Yeah. Any restless, kind of gotta move, itchy, scratchy? Yeah. And any doubt? Yeah. Not sure I should have done this tonight. Why didn't I do something else? Yeah. And how many people experienced some patience, some feeling of willingness to be with what's difficult, even though it's unpleasant? Yeah. And any sense of calm, somehow greater calm or mindful awareness of what you were actually experiencing? Great. Great. Okay, so no right or wrong to that list. Yeah, it's all included, all part of it. And as we explore the parami this year, so most of you probably know that we're diving into a list of 10 qualities. And these are qualities that are said to be innate human strengths and resources, capacities that we all have. Often they're not recognized or developed as strengths or capacities, but we all have them. And everyone has kind of a different relationship to lists. Yeah. Some people get excited by the order of a list, like, oh, there's 10. Okay. Someone in a class I was in the other night said, I just get more and more tired. The longer the list, there's this feeling of, oh, I'll never get there. Yeah, so we can have different relationships with the lists. But these lists, and especially this list of 10, what are sometimes called perfections, are never meant to be an identity project. They're never meant to be a standard that we measure ourselves against. They're meant to reacquaint us. They're a map of qualities and strengths that we already have. And often the first step in developing them is not so much, okay, I'm impatient, I have to get patient. Yeah, I'm irritable, I need to be more patient. Often the first step in developing a quality is simply to recognize it where it's already present in our own lives or in the lives of others that we see. So I find this list of the paramis incredibly inspiring. They have this quality of kalyana. I may have mentioned this in a previous week, but it keeps coming back as we talk about the parami. So this kalyana is a certain kind of beauty. Yeah. So maybe you've heard the phrase or the term kalyanamita, which is a spiritual friend or beautiful friend, wise friend. So this quality of kalyana has this flavor of ethical integrity, a deep wholeheartedness, and there's a kind of beauty in it that we can appreciate. So when we see someone acting, when we see someone embodying patience or expressing patience, and we recognize it, there's a sense, for me at least, this is such a beautiful part of being human. Often forgotten, not often at the forefront, but there are so many human capacities on display that are belligerent, irritating, harmful, that to really take the time to notice these qualities when they're manifesting, when they're being expressed, it's a big part of cultivation, is simply to recognize and notice. So I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I was here talking about effort and energy, a few weeks ago now, that part of what prompted my early practice in my 20s was kind of a crisis of effort, was realizing that I was stuck in patterns of efforting that weren't fruitful. And if I didn't change, I didn't make a kind of change, that sort of patterning of striving and collapsing would have no end. So that was urgency and motivation for practice. And around that time, I started looking for situations in which I could experience a kind of contentedness, or at least presence, without this trying to get to the next thing. Always trying to get to the next thing, when it was going to be better, when I would be finished, when I could rest. So around that time, I started work as a caregiver in various capacities. And so I was often around people who were ill, who were elderly, and often who were dying. So this was a tremendous teaching in this cultivating and appreciating this quality of patience. So I consider so many of the people I worked with in this capacity as being my patience teachers. Right? So this is going to be one reflection I'll ask of us tonight. Who are your patience teachers? So these are, for me, and there was some combination of conditions that enabled a certain quality of presence to come forward with this population. And I'm not sure I understand it completely, but it was clear at this point in my life that I wanted to see what it was like to be with people without, kind of without hope, without any hope that I could fix them or change them or make them better or any kind of responsibility in that way. What was it like just to know that the main thing that I could provide was presence or simply being with, especially people who were in difficulty. And so that actually allowed a wonderful opportunity to practice this quality of patience. So as any of you who've ever been with, and maybe this is a poll, anybody ever taken care of somebody whose body wasn't functioning well? Yeah. Anyone ever taken care of a child or a parent who was maybe moving at a different pace than we were or are? Yeah. And how many people have cultivated a garden or grown plants or trees in which results were not immediately forthcoming? Okay, these are all patience practices, patience teachers. Anyone who's ever entered maybe an assisted living facility or a place or a hospital, a place where bodies are not functioning in the way that often we expect, demand, and require them to, you'll notice a completely different relationship to time. Yeah. So time is going very, very slowly. So some of the people who I would care for, often it would take an hour just to get ready for bed and brush one's teeth at night. So some of you have been in those situations. Every movement needs to be slow and deliberate, and can involve quite a bit of discomfort and pain. So those living with any sort of disability will have this experience of patience too. So I would be there with many people as they would go through this bedtime routine at night, taking I'll talk about this later, but Ajahn Suchito talks about this phrase, all the time in the world, yeah? To be with things as they are, taking all the time in the world. So I once cared for a 98-year-old woman who went through this meticulous ritual as she was getting ready for bed at night. You know, she wasn't able to stand on her own, so everything was very slow. So she would have me put together her outfit for the following day. You know, everything. Shirt, undershirt, underpants, pants, socks, earrings, the whole bit, everything meticulously laid out. And then we would wheel in. She would slowly brush her teeth and then very slowly reach her mouth up to the sink to spit. Very, very slowly reach for the glass, rinse. And it was a completely different experience of time. Yeah. Completely different experience of time. And then every night she would have me measure out a little bit of scotch tape. And then she would have me put it right here on her forehead, because that's what Jackie Kennedy did to prevent wrinkles. So she's 98, that ship had sailed, but she would still put this little piece of tape to prevent the wrinkles. Yes, and then she would often look at me, kind of attending, working with my own patients, and she would say, honey, I don't understand why you don't go get yourself an office job. No? Like, why would you want to do this, you know, with me? Why would you want to be here with me? Essentially is what she was asking. I feel like I learned so much from those years. And I did that off and on for, you know, still doing it a bit. That incredible patience that they embodied, many of them, and also that I learned to be in their presence. So we can appreciate this quality. It doesn't always come forward with our discomfort, with our aging, with our bodily decline, with our dying. This patience doesn't often come forward. As many of you know, we can just as easily get grumbly, complaining, and aversive, just as easily. So to value this quality and appreciate its beauty. Patience is often recognized as the supreme, if there can be a supreme, parami, in that it's the most helpful for purification. So these strengths and capacities are beautiful, they're resources, but they're also deeply transformative as we practice them. And purification is a difficult word, sometimes. It's not that we're rooting out some inherent evil or some deep flaw in us, but it's that when we practice something like patience, we get to experience all the places in which we are impatient, right? With every parami, we get to be intimate with its opposite. Yeah? We get to know, by practicing metta or kindness, we get to know all the places we are deeply unkind. Yeah? With generosity, we get to know all the places in which we would rather hold back or hoard or keep to ourselves. So patience, as we can consider this, is this true? Is patience the supreme purification? Is it what allows us, is it what that which allows us to stay present with the difficult, with the challenging, with the uncomfortable, when things don't go our way, which is a lot of the time. A lot of the time, things are not unfolding according to our preferences. Yeah. So it's patience that allows us to be with that in a deep and ongoing way. So bearing with what's difficult. So part of what makes this cultivation challenging, especially around patience, is that we are often conditioned culturally to expect immediate results. There's this underlying assumption that if things are going as they should, things should be kind of easy, yeah, and smooth, and kind of more and more pleasurable. And so if things are messy, unpleasant, and kind of chaotic or discombobulated, there's a sense that something must be going wrong here. Something's not quite right. Either I'm not right or something in the environment isn't right. So something needs fixing. But from the framework of cultivation or of this purification, when we recognize these qualities coming forward and we can see them, our irritation, our impatience, our kind of tendency to collapse or withdraw, if we see them, then that is a good moment, right? There's no way to be free of something, to gain capacity, without first being able to acknowledge, meet, and bear it, right? So it's not a sign of something going wrong. It's actually a sign of something going right. So this is a really challenging thing to get for people. Because often we conclude really early, this practice isn't working, or I can't do it. So right underneath that is an experience that's difficult to meet. So I just happened to be reading an article by a psychologist named Josh Gressel, and he was talking about why it's so difficult to stay married over a long period of time, over decades. So we can apply this, I think, not just to marriage, but anything that we stay with over a long period of time, any kind of relationship. And he says, it's coming to terms with the way that the trajectory of marriage, we could say work, we could say child rearing, we could say gardening, we could say our spiritual practice, is not in some way a steady move towards ever better, ever stronger, ever more pleasurable. It's realizing It's coping with the feeling that some things are actually harder, less strong, and less pleasurable over time. Can we feel this with our own, those of us who are aware of our own aging? Can we feel that some things are harder, less strong, and less pleasurable over time? So we could say that kind of acclimating to this reality is a kind of maturing. It is a kind of developing in the practice. This is maturing. The difficulty doesn't mean that there's something going wrong. Yeah, this is nature, life taking its natural course. Right. So in a culture that values speed and efficiency and productivity, patience is kind of revolutionary. And it's difficult to perceive it as a strength sometimes. So I think of patience as often a quiet power. A quiet power. So this is the capacity to bear with, to come to an acceptance of the difficult. So how do we bear that which is difficult to bear? How do we stay with the painful, the irritating, the discouraging, the nauseating? Yeah. Or in the examples I've been using, any endeavor, but also with our spiritual practice, we meet the boring, the monotonous, the mundane, right? Often. So the first thing we can do is appreciate patience as a beautiful quality, but also as a form of quiet strength that I like to think often outlasts its flashier counterparts, right? So it's often not glamorous. It's not as kind of energetic and seemingly heroic as energy, as effort. But it is the ability to bear with. And that is a supreme strength, quiet strength. So Ajahn Suchito talks about it as acceptance without expectation. Yeah. Acceptance without expectation. So this is these are his words, which I really, really appreciate. Patience may at first strike you as teeth gritting, hang on until it's over kind of quality. But this would not be true patience, because in such a case, the mind is still longing for an end to the experience. Aversion is still lurking in the background. True patience has the soft and heartfelt strength of having all the time in the world to rest in an experience. Patience relaxes the edge of time. The transformative power of patience is such that as the mind relaxes its defensiveness and bristling, the annoying delay becomes an occasion for spaciousness. The other person's irritating behavior is something you can meet with empathy as their unfortunate problem. Naturally, it also includes the wisdom to know when one just has to bear with and when there is an occasion to act in a clear and responsible way. This is a really important point. Patience is not meant to transform you into a doormat, but to act as a firebreak on immediate impulses that will bring about your welfare, that will not bring about your welfare. And as our conditioning is often one of getting things done as quickly as possible, it's always skillful to check that attitude with wisdom. Yeah. Okay. So there are a few things in there I just want to highlight. Yeah. So acceptance without expectation. So I remember being in a train station in India, and this heat is reminding me, I lived in India for a time, and it's also patience practice. And in the train stations there, some of you might know this, and it's likely changed in many areas now, this was many years ago, but people would be packed in to train stations for trains going everywhere. And the announcements would come over the loudspeakers, and sometimes it would say, such and such train has been delayed, and there would be a pause. It would say, 12 hours. Such and such train, 32 on platform 5, has been canceled. Right? Such and such a train on such and such a platform is running late. it was an extraordinary experience, because here you were with the expectation that you would get on a train leaving at a certain time, arriving at a certain time. But people who were living there, who'd been familiar with that train station, had no such expectation. So people were camped out and basically treating it like a family picnic. You know, there was no urgency, at least that I could tell. It's always hard to tell what people's inner experience is, but there was, if that had happened in many places in the U.S., there would have been rioting. Right? Righteous indignation. This is not acceptable. But people were just, there was none of that. There was just this waiting. There's a picture of myself next to one window, in a whole, area in which there was nothing to do but wait. And then there was a sign that said, no loitering. So you have a picture of me next to that sign. There's nothing to do but loiter. So there is, it's not a waiting it out. It's not a gritting our teeth, getting through this. That works maybe for the first few hours. But it's really an ability to soften around discomfort and relinquish our agenda. Yeah, our command, our expectation. So we can see that to expect life, to bow to our whims and demands and our own sense of timing, to actually continue to hold that expectation that life is here to meet my needs, that is actually a place of weakness. Yeah, we will be continually frustrated and disappointed to have that as an underlying assumption. I worked for another person as a caregiver who was used to tremendous privilege, and he had many beautiful, beautiful qualities, but was often used to being able to buy his way out of discomfort, yeah. Arrange conditions so that they were a little bit, took the edge off. And so he was a certain point in his illness, he would continually say, as he was feeling uncomfortable, the service in this place is just terrible. The service is terrible. So we can notice when we feel discomfort, the very human tendency to look around and think, I must be able to contact someone about this. Must be able to arrange things so it's a little bit less, you know, someone should do something about this aging thing, right? So, okay. But it is patience that enables us to bear with that turbulence without getting knocked around. Shanti Deva, way of the Bodhisattva, so this is in the Tibetan tradition, says there's no affliction equal to hatred or to aversion, capable of so much destruction. There's no affliction comparable to hatred. And there is no practice comparable with patience. Therefore, steep yourself in patience, in all ways, urgently, with zeal. Isn't that a lovely convergence of energy we talked about last month, and patience? We can be wholehearted, fully committed, fully zealous, and letting go of our specific demand of how it should unfold. Yeah, you can feel those. So just a couple kind of concrete suggestions for how to practice with patience so that it's not a grim kind of teeth gritting, waiting it out endurance, which sometimes it is, you know, sometimes it is. But if we think of energy or effort as a kind of activating, yeah, so I talked about it as kind of lighting the pilot light of our motivation. Activating as a way of gathering our energy and attention together in one place, in steering in a skillful direction. So we're activated. Patience is like acclimatizing to the way it actually is. Think about a plane that is going through turbulence as you're adjusting. There's often turbulence as we're acclimatizing to different states, to new states, to new ways of being. So to be able to acclimatize, to say, this is the way it is for now. So this is a kind of precursor or a prelude to equanimity, that peace and balance in the midst of conditions. Before we can get to equanimity, before we can abide in peace, we have to be able to bear with that turbulence, yeah? Understand it. So, okay, so to do this, we can train ourselves in this gesture of softening rather than bracing or leaning. Yeah, so often when we enter difficulty or resistance, our first move is a kind of constriction or tightening. But that can also be a flag or a clue that, this is a place for softening, for encouraging opening. We can do this with the breathing. We can do this just with the complete acceptance. This is how it is right now. It's like this. In the words of Ajahn Sumedho, that many people have practiced with over the years, it's like this right now. It's just like this, right? Discomfort in the body is like this. Yeah. Irritability is like this. Yeah. Aching is like this. Yeah. That softening creates space. And also the simple phrase I use a lot. We talked last month a bit about the move from willfulness to willingness. So this is from John Wellwood, from willfulness to willingness, not imposing our agenda, but willingness to be with. So this is to just remind or invite, I'm willing to bear with this for just another moment, one more moment, softening, opening. So this is what Ajahn Suchito also talked about, relaxing the edge of time, relaxing the edge of time. the time in which we expect we should be over something, the time in which we expect results, the time in which we expect to get some kind of feedback on our progress. Yeah. So using these examples of parenting or being with aging or cultivating a garden, it is an act of great love to be able to hang in there with those experiences as though you have all the time in the world. Have all the time in the world to be with this body just as it is. I have all the time in the world to be with this quivering, frightened heart just as it is. I have all the time in the world to be with this being just as they are. So anyone who's ever tried to say, leave the house with a toddler at a certain time, you know, say, okay, it's time to go. Or as I mentioned, you know, that nighttime routine. You know, sometimes it's like time has stopped, you know, time has actually stopped. So there we are, you know, relaxing at the edge of time. That is where patience ripens into love, yeah, into a deep peace and equanimity. And if we can't do that, if that isn't possible for us in the moment, there's a wonderful patience practice, which I like to call not making it worse. And this is a beautiful capacity. Yeah. If we cannot surrender fully to the conditions of the moment, soften completely, we can at some time notice that it is a wonderful strength to just not be making things worse. Yeah. So this is where we cannot resist other people's resistance. Yeah. We cannot add our resistance to other people's resistance. Yeah. So Irina Weissman, wonderful, long-time insight teacher, talked about her work with insomnia and being up in the middle of the night, not being able to sleep, not being able to do anything about not being able to sleep, not being able to make it better. And so she would just do walking practice as something that she could do in that moment to collect her mind. And she said, at some point I could feel that even though it wasn't getting any better, I could feel that in that moment I was not reacting to the reaction. I was not making it worse. And there was some appreciation of that, being able to do that. Yeah. So the world is filled with people reacting to other people's reaction to their reactivity to their reaction. Yeah. It is a endless ping-ponging of reactivity. And as Martin Luther King said, I think at some point, it's like at some point, somebody has to, this is mixing metaphors, but at some point, someone has to dim the lights. Yeah, it's like two cars going towards each other on the freeway. Both with at some point, someone has to dim the lights. So the quote from the Buddha gets talked about often, like hatred is never met with hatred, it is only met with love. By love alone, it is healed. So we can say this with reactivity. We can also say that sometimes patience is the precursor to love and peace. Think of it as the prequel sometimes to love and peace. And if we can appreciate everything that we are, you know, there's a great refraining in that. If we can appreciate everything that we are doing to not only not make things worse, but to set the conditions for transformation, that develops tremendous capacity and strength, to be with and transform our own reaction to physical suffering, to mental suffering, and to the suffering of others. So I hope you can feel the strength in that, So this gesture that we did during the practice of palms down and palms up comes from a beautiful, wonderfully strong and powerful teacher, Zenju Erthlin Manuel, who talks about this practice of surrendering and allowing ourselves to become, to be undone, to be disrupted in our patterns and habits. She talks about it as our palms being wiped clean of our imaginings. So our palms wiped clean of our imaginings. It's another way of saying surrendering our expectations for how we should be, for how others should be, for how long it takes to unfold. And so we can sit down with firm commitment, with resolve, with intentionality, gathering our awareness, our energies together. And when we're pointed in a skillful direction, we can also turn our palms up. Yeah, so we don't have to do it literally, but sometimes somatically it's helpful. And this is a deep willingness to not only be open to what's difficult, but to be transformed by it, to be changed by it. Not just imposing our agenda, but to a real openness to being transformed. So she says, we are to be undone. This is life. There is no getting around it. We unravel over and over again. Life gets disrupted. We're thrown off. We face the unimaginable. It is sobering over and over again, ending up in a place we never thought we'd be. In that strangeness, in that strange place, we are quietly undone. We are not who we thought we were. So, want to close with one additional piece, which I mentioned earlier, but there can also be a great wisdom in patience that knows when is the appropriate time to bear with difficulty, to soften around it, to surrender to it. And we can do that and still know when the time is to act for change. We actually act more skillfully and effectively if we have first done this patience practice, this softening, this accepting, this allowing. Otherwise, we're just adding our reactivity to the reactivity that already exists. So I think helpful to keep in mind the words from the Serenity Prayer, which many people in recovery practice, but I think is was tremendously helpful over and over again. So in practice language, we could say, may I have May I grow the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The serenity, the patience to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and those can go together in the same moment, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay. So why don't we just sit quietly for a moment with that. So you might just take a moment and notice what's true in your direct right now experience. And perhaps there's some appreciation for ways we have already been cultivating patience, this ability to bear with experience. And so to recognize and appreciate it as a strength that may have been quietly, steadily growing, maybe unrecognized, unnoticed. A quiet strength. So I appreciate your attention tonight, your practice. And we have a few minutes for your reflections on patience, your questions or comments. Just time for a few. I always like to encourage, teacher of mine would say, it's really an act of generosity to share your experience or your questions with others. So I have some questions for you, but if a little space, we'll have reflections or comments, questions. So at home, you can raise, I don't know that I'll be able to see all of your physical hands, but you can raise a virtual hand. And here, it's like M, are you, is that a hand?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. About 18 hours ago, I'm on the East Coast. I was at a yoga class and I was walking through going away from the yoga class at the end of the class, and somebody, a staff person of the facility, said, oh, you can't walk through here. And immediately I'm like, you know, what should I say? What should I respond to this? And I just said, oh, I'll just follow directions. But I still had in my heart, it was like, what is he to tell me how I, where I can walk and where I can't walk? And it was just so excellent that I didn't do anything that, to make it worse. Because so your talk was very, very perfect for me. So thank you. Because I'm very fiery sometimes. I just want to respond and say, you can't tell me what to do.
Yes, and I love that you're laughing about that, because that indicates that there's some acceptance of it, right? Mm. That, okay, you know your mind well. And it's so reflexive, right? It's so reflexive. I often say it's like when someone it's like hitting our knee and our foot goes out. So it's to appreciate that our habit mind is very reflexive, and some of us are fiery and some of us are prone to kind of collapse or withdrawal or more self-judgment, some of us a little bit of both. And so to be able to just be with that reaction, with not adding fuel to the fire, without proliferating around it, just that ability to be with it, to notice it, and as you said, not make it worse. Wonderfully specific example. Thank you. Thank you. We'll have, we will have a million opportunities every day to practice patience. We may not have an hour every morning to sit quietly and practice concentration, but we will have numerous opportunities to practice patience. So if we intentionally take it on and can sense its strength and its beauty, that will serve us very well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, please. And if you wouldn't mind, if you'd be willing so people can see you, and if you're willing, that would be great. Thank you. Yeah, that way people at home can see you. It's great. Thank you.
You can hear me? Okay. Oh, no.
Great.
This is not a really fully formed thought, but... those like this? Okay, thank you. Okay. Thank you. My oldest child has schizophrenia, and it's probably been the greatest practice, opportunity of my entire life. But one of the things that we've observed over time is this different qualities of this illness exhibit themselves. Sometimes they can feel paranoid, or sometimes they can have terrible hallucinations that are really persecuting them. But more recently, they are experiencing the beginnings of catatonia. And what you said about time really, it was like I really needed to hear that tonight, because the experience really is of moving into a different time with them. And when you see, like, they sometimes can't cross doorways, without not able to decide. It's really being trapped inside, and it's a constant challenge to remain present, And my practice has been, when I'm driving, to see them, whether they're going to get in the car or not, whether we'll be able to take a ride together. And it's really, we're in a simple part of, this, it's a cycle, and this is where we are now, as he said. And just being able to know that I'm going to work to be just fully present and not try to mess it up more. I feel this need very often, particularly when I feel out of control, to try to fuck it up by talking, by saying, sorry, everybody, but by trying to say something, to start a conversation, to ask a question, it's my way of connecting, verbally.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? And to just be absolutely determined not to say it, just be quiet and just sit until it's until something, you know, and not to, to force it and not to push.
Yeah.
Amazing, hard to do, you know, and to be able to notice I'm tightening up, you know, and to know that, you know, that I have the ability to soften that now that I know that it's happening. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I just, it was so resonant to me tonight, everything that you said. You know, that what we're given is what we're practiced, what we need to practice with. So I don't know what else to say.
Well, remind me of your name too. We've
met Dorothy. Thank you. I couldn't find my name tag.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Thank you.
Okay. I really, really appreciated you sharing that very, very much. And one of the questions I was going to ask was, who are your patients' teachers? So that was, and this is, we learn in the fire of it, right? There isn't anything neat or formulaic about it. Like, we learn in the fire of it. And that's exactly what you described. And it also feels a tremendous act of love. You know, could feel patience, the patience and love merging. Like, we stay in there because there's great love.
Mm.
Yeah, so. I really appreciate your vulnerability and your coming forward and sharing that with us.
It was in the spirit of, it's in the spirit of sharing experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So maybe instead of, you know, it can feel like a lot to come up to the mic. It can be like a talk show quality about it. But maybe you can just hear from maybe a couple people in the room and a few people maybe online, just a word or a phrase. Sometimes this is helpful just as a way of, just maybe one thing that's resonating for you that just sometimes saying it out loud is helpful for others to hear, or helpful for yourself to hear. So Kathy,
things I don't want to happen to me, my health, my situation. If other people, well, that's different. But for me, it's, you know, that's just where I'm at, where I'm working.
You're working at that edge of things you don't want to have happen, but are happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, and I can just repeat. You don't have to.
Well, I was just, it doesn't seem to matter how long I'm practicing. There must be cellular, maybe transgenerational, binary operating system mind believes that there's just something wrong with this moment. There's just something
that's not okay about this moment. And that all this time, I'm still pretty convinced that I can fix it, right? And so I've decided to be rebellious about it and just practice anyway. And so sometimes I just say, well, we're just going to stay here anyway. You know, I don't want to do it, or it's terrible, or I object. I object. You know, and then I'll say to myself, it's like maybe I'm parenting myself here, but I don't do it anyway. It's okay, you can object. It's like take the edge off the resistance, maybe, and slide along. Anyway.
Yeah. Thank you. Mark. Oh. Hi, Mark. Nice to see you. Yeah.
You too. I'd forgotten how impatient I used to be decades ago.
I was horrible. And yet, my greatest teachers, namely dogs and kids, I can see now after 20, 30 years of dogs and kids that I have much more patience, but I say I'm totally in control of my patience? No. So I've had great teachers and made great progress, but I've forgotten until tonight how impatient I used to be.
Thank you for that. Yes, sometimes we can lose track, as I was saying. It's sometimes hard to recognize patience as it's developing. Yeah. We can't see it. We can see it more in retrospect, like looking back. So thank you for mentioning that. Good. And we have another patient situation happening. There's like water kind of leaking here right now. So we'll change what we can, but also keep on. Yeah. All right. And Judith.
I think that probably all of my close relationships have been patients, teachers, but I think probably the most were my children, because those were the relationships I couldn't walk away from. And I became very aware of that when my first child was born, that, oh, this is for life, right? Whatever happens, this is for life. Yeah, which did not turn out to be the case with marriages, I might say, but with children,
yeah. That's right. Yeah. So thank you, Judith. We appreciate that. And you got a lot of empathetic chuckles in the room here. Yeah. So with the cultivation of all these qualities, there's the appreciation for how we have been strengthening it, maybe ways we haven't appreciated, and also the commitment to kind of be at that edge that Kathy was describing, that edge of what's tolerable, of what we don't want, and yet what is actually here. So we'll be able to do that if we can feel our capacities growing at that edge. We can't always feel it, but if we can appreciate that that is the way that they actually grow and strengthen. So good. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your comments and reflections. My prompts, as I said, for your reflection are, who are your patient's teachers? So both those who embody patience, those who you can, you're inspired by to practice, and those, as Judith was saying, those who irritate, who may irritate you, or who are not on board always with your agenda, and yet you're in it anyway. You're in it for the duration. So who are your patients' teachers? And also, is it more challenging with others or with yourself? You know, we might notice that as well. So just an encouragement to appreciate where it's already flowing and where it's already strong, and then to stay at that edge. All right, so maybe we'll take just a minute to close. And before we close, just want to say, so this Saturday, there is a painting party. So the North Room up here is empty and ready to be painted. So if you have time this Saturday, it could be fun to join others from 9:30 to 12. All the supplies will be provided. So here in the north, our new north room up there. So wonderful to lend your efforts to that. Also deeply appreciate your reflections and practice of Dana. Your offerings are always warmly received. I can't always respond. So there's an opportunity to offer support for my teaching livelihood and also support of Seattle Insight also. So just appreciate your reflections on that. And then if you're able to, let's just take a minute to close. So just no need to switch your posture. Just for a moment, you can incline your mind towards the wish, the intention that our practice be shared, that the benefits of our practice be shared. So whatever inspiration, ease, connectedness, compassion, patience, understanding may have arisen from our practice tonight. May it be of great benefit to ourselves, but also to all those we come in contact with. May our practice be of great benefit to ourselves and all beings everywhere, without exception. Thank you, lovely people. Thank you.